The world of marketing is changing, and to keep pace with it, you need to create a new point of view that is original, authentic, and engaging. How to go about doing that? Stay tuned to the Marketing Redefined show. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to our show, Marketing Redefined. So excited to host you today. And before we start with anything, your brand, your company, what's going on, the trends, etc., let me just understand what are you all about. Please tell me something about yourself.
Sure, Muskan. Thank you for having me. Well, I'm Jackie. I'm Filipina. I grew up in one of the 7,100 islands in the Philippines. I grew up in quite a beautiful island, you know, with a city by the sea. We have a mountain in our island. So if you want to, you're into nature, you can also do some trekking there. However, for the past more than a decade, I've been living in Belgium now. So I'm based in Belgium. I've settled down here with my family. Before settling down, I used to do a lot of sports and a lot of traveling, and we talked about that offline the last time, Muskan. But but now, you know, I've settled down. I have two kids, one who was born during the pandemic. So I have a 5-year-old and an 8-month-old. But you know, in between, I've always been interested in business. So I've studied entrepreneurship. I've majored in entrepreneurship, and also I've started a couple of businesses in the past. But currently, I'm the chief marketing officer of our startup, Mangtas, together with a lot of other hats that I also wear, because as you know, in startups, you wear different hats, but my primary responsibility is marketing and communications for a startup.
Wow. Like, I always already say that, you know, entrepreneurs are not only just skilled in one thing, but they have to handle like the whole plateau of array of things that they have on their plate, and it's never set in stone. Like, it's always random, you know, the next day that they wake up.
And you have to be adaptable. Yeah,
exactly. I mean life can throw anything at you, plus you have like two kids who are like so small right now, and to manage all of that together, being a mother, being an entrepreneur, marketing and stuff, it is tough. But at the same time, now, as you mentioned, that you've already tried and tested your hands in entrepreneurship with brands already. Now you have a brand which is Mangtas, if I'm right, correctly pronouncing it. So
yes, Mangtas.
Tell me something about Mangtas.
That's perfect. Sure. Well, Mangtas is actually a marketplace. So we're creating a marketplace, Muskan, specifically a B2B marketplace. So what we want to say is that we usually say is that we're a remote staffing platform powered by vendors. But there aren't a lot of marketplaces like ours out there. Have you heard of these freelancing platforms like Upwork or Fiverr or TopTal? So anyway, with these freelancing platforms, these are the platforms that you go to if you need freelancers, like short-term, part-time gigs. But if you're looking for remote, long-term, full-time engagements, then you come to us. You come to Mangtas. So what that means if you're looking, for example, and we specialize in tech mostly. So, for example, if you're looking for a Java developer, and you have you don't have to worry anymore. So you just simply go to our platform, give us your job description, and our platform will filter out the best matched profiles for you. And then you just, in a matter of minutes, come up with a short list of the best fit profiles for you. So we have a very meticulous vetting process. It's not just profiles that we give you. They go through a vetting process as well, you know, skills, assessments, and interview process. But this is also all automated. You can say that it's AI in a way. And that's, you know, our future is a bit of a buzzword, but that's practically where our platform is headed. And we are able to do that at scale due to our talent sourcing partners. So we have hundreds of partners, actually thousands all over the world. And so that's how we're able to do it at scale. But maybe you can think of us as like a matchmakers, but for B2B.
Oh, that actually sounds good. But like as much complicated as it sounds, it is actually something that's simplifying lives really. And you know, these days, my favorite of conversations that are there out there are, you know, mixing marketing with AI or tech really, because, you know, my strong view is that if tech is working in other industries or not, I don't know. But with marketing, tech is really showing, you know, those nice true colors. And I just can't wait for the future to really unfold what exactly it is that's gonna be made, because I've had conversations about these virtual stores, about AI changing faces of brands and stuff like that. Now, when I talk about a brand, now the brand, first of all, before becoming a brand, really needs a startup, really needs to, you know, set a tone for themselves or like have a proper branding for themselves. Now, how do you, because as you mentioned, you are a CMO, I just am very interested in that side of your job, that how do you suggest a brand really create a strong brand identity, or like in your case, if we say a marketplace?
Well, naturally we're a startup, so really had to create our brand from scratch. Mm-hmm. But just to be, or just a little behind the scenes, Mangtas is, because my co-founder, one of my co-founders and I, we come from the Philippines. And in our island, in our beautiful island, Mangtas means somebody who is highly skilled at something. And ultimately, that is what we provide to our clients. You know, the best fit matches, the best shortlist of the talents that they're looking for. You know, even the top 5% of the talents is what we present to them, the cream of the crop. And I remember when we started, one of the very first things that my team and I, my marketing team and I did was, apart from our logo, and after, you know, after the logo, after the name of your company, is to create the branding guidelines for us, so that moving forward, before we did anything, we're clear about what our brand is, even down from the colors, the font, the type of messaging that we want to put out there, the tone that we want to set. So all of these have to be clear, just so you don't put out mixed messages and you don't confuse people as to what your brand is actually about, especially if you're still starting out and people don't know who you are yet. So as a startup, when you're marketing a startup, then it's important that you're also clear about what your vision is for your company. Also, especially being one of the co-founders of the company, what your vision is, what your goal is down the line, and what your values are, and ultimately have these reflected in the messaging that you create. And actually, you also use different platforms, but even if you use different platforms, your branding guidelines will help you with your messaging.
But like, what after that? Once you have set the tone, once you have set what you stand for, your core values, mission, vision, how do you really pave your way? Because there are already so many brands out there that, you know, are running around doing their proper physical, digital, every type of marketing, wherein traditional is mixing with the new age marketing. How do a startup really set their tone and really move ahead from now, establishing that, okay, this is what we stand for, this is what our vision is, now what?
I love how you say traditional marketing versus like the new marketing. I love how you say that, Muskan, because like when we started, I made sure that we did a lot of research, you know, to get to know who our target audience is. And but like for our startup, it got a bit tricky because we don't just have one target audience. We have our vendor partners, the talent sourcing partners that provide the services, because again, we're matchmakers. And then we also have our clients who are interested in our services. So we did a lot of research, made sure that we knew who we're crafting our messages for. It's important to know where to find your target audience, like what social media platforms they're using. I remember when we started being Filipina, we're mostly on Facebook, so Facebook was a natural way for us to start. And then Instagram, we followed with Instagram, but ultimately for B2B, LinkedIn is the place to be. So we were there. We also started with Twitter. But then down the line, even if everybody says that B2B, I mean, LinkedIn is the place to be for B2B, being an international company, you also have to take into consideration that not all of the businesses everywhere in the world, or all of the entrepreneurs or your target audience, not all of them are on LinkedIn. So it's still best to have a variety of platforms where you bring your messaging across. But then at the same time, you also have to make sure that with the resources that you have, you don't spread yourself out too thin.
True, true. Very true, because now that you've mentioned social media, I think so. A very personal example of mine would be that I started out as, like, my proper job was in social media, first of all. So I remember, like, you know, really researching about it and trying to find new trends every day to, you know, how to really get the company going, how to get myself going. Because obviously, whenever somebody looks at a social media manager, that manager tries to, first of all, sell themselves. And then, you know, a company sort of hires them. So did that with myself, then did that for a company. So I already know that there are some struggles when it comes to, you know, marketing, social media marketing for a already established brand, and doing the same for a brand that's just starting out and has to set up everything from scratch. Not only are they trying to sell their products, their services, their ideology, but at the same time, now they have a very big job, a task of really putting themselves out there and building these platforms, being consistent and stuff. So just a question related to that, what exactly is the role of social media when it comes to marketing a startup, and how to really leverage these social media platforms?
Good question, Muskan. Well, actually, in the age of digital marketing, social media plays a very, very crucial role. True. Especially in organic marketing. As a startup, you know, you don't really have a big budget. You know, we started out at bootstrapping ourselves before opening ourselves up to investors. So social media helped a lot. It helped us grow organically. It's free to use. So why not use Facebook? It's free. Instagram, it's free. LinkedIn, Twitter. Also, maybe something just an interesting memory that, or recollection that I have, and also an interesting thing to consider for startups. Like if you're on LinkedIn, where we were on LinkedIn again, and if you're like a startup, you have a limited budget, you know, and then you become very mindful about how you spend the budget that you have or the resources that you have. So for example, if you're a big company, it's okay to spend a couple of thousands or millions on marketing. But then if you're a startup, you really have to think twice, really do your research and see if, okay, is this gonna bring us is this going to be worth it? Is this going to be bring us our ROI, or, you know, is this going to really generate leads for us if LinkedIn tells us that you have to have a minimum budget of $3,500 to have at least a successful campaign as a startup founder, you're going to be like, okay, so am I really going to put my resources here? This is already like, the salary of my employees, or like a monthly mortgage that you're going to pay. So these factors are also interesting things that come into play when making your decisions as a startup and when marketing your startup. So the best maybe way is to just be agile in your approach, like test out your content, see what works, and then move on from there. But just be very flexible about it.
A very true and very experimental advice, I would say, because I think so it comes from a point where you actually experimented with these advices that you're already giving out. But at the same time, it just makes me go back to this one conversation that in the earlier days, me and my founder had on one of these podcasts, where we actually discussed this thing that, you know, there used to be, when I say traditional marketing, there used to be campaigns worth the budget of crores, and I don't know how big of these budgets used to be. Yeah. And they used to be already very hit because, you know, they're putting in so much money, they have so many resources, and their brand is already so well known. So I just had a very genuine question towards him that they're already so known. If you see brands like Mercedes or some of them, they're already very premium, very known. They don't even need such campaigns, but at the same time, they're known for being lavish and, you know, extraordinary with their campaigns. And when they come out, it's just people, you know, people's mind are blown. So he told me this one thing only, that, you know, now startups might have a very few chances, but at the same time, they need to be very picky in terms of how to use or allocate these resources. At the same time, have a good sense and research of what really their market or the trends that are going on in that industry need. Because right now, we might not have the need of those lavish, big budgeted campaigns also. There might be a need of a very simple, let's say, influencer marketing if we have to pinpoint something. So it could be something very simple, or it could be something that requires a bit more tangent approach. So it just reminded me of that. Now, I also loved a word that you used, which was, you know, your matchmakers. So coming to that, now making matches and all that is fine, but at the same time, now we need to know some effective ways to really build this relationship wherein you're saying matchmaking for these potential customers that you might have or a startup might have. Now they are at a very crucial stage where they need to have a proper loyal clientele, client base. So how to start with it, how to build these relationships?
Well, in our space anyway, Masyan, for B2B, it's pretty much you start with networking and partnerships. So who is in your network? It's very different from B2C in that it's more of a long, lengthy process based on trust and reliability with B2B. And also, the amounts are much bigger as opposed to maybe buying a pair of shoes or some makeup. So reach out to your network, and the network plays a very significant role in acquiring your first customers, building their trust, and creating that customer base. That, and also, additionally, it's about understanding who your customers are, what their pain points are. And this is also part of the research that you do, but it's always a work in progress. So you get your first customer and you get to really know them and how you can help them, how you can make your service better for them, and then adjusting along the way. And also, always go back to your analytics. What is the data telling you. It's often that, you know, in when you're so busy in things, not just in a startup, with everything, with all, with life, in general, your work, that you forget to go back to the data. But ultimately, that plays a very significant role in determining how, where you're supposed to be headed.
True. Actually, very true. But at the same time, now we have talked a lot about what we really need to do and what needs to be done and how to go about it, what's the future steps. But at the same time, now the brands, the startups that are already there, they are already doing something, right? Now, what are these common mistakes that, you know, the brands are not able to work or the marketing is not really working for them? And how do you avoid these errors or mistakes while they're marketing their own startup and ideology?
Well, another good question. What, like I mentioned earlier, just it's easy to be in this whirlwind of let's do this again, and you know, you have all these entire mountain of to dos, and in marketing especially, I love about it. It's such a creative space, so it's easy to have all of your ideas there. But then ultimately you shouldn't really forget to look at your analytics. It's not because your entire team are up for it and like, this is going to be great, that it's really going to work for your target audience. It doesn't, I mean, if you like it, if it works for you, it doesn't mean that it will work for everybody. So again, go back to your data, do your due diligence, do your research. But as a startup, and I'm sorry, I always have to go back to a startup, because these are the learnings that I had from, I'm still continuously learning from our startup. With the resources that you have, don't spread yourself out too thin. So make sure that you're focused on what you want to prioritize. And it, with a startup, everything seems to be a priority, but just try to take time to really consider what are your objectives, what are your goals, and which ideas will take you best to where your goals are. And also be flexible. We're talking about traditional marketing. I mean, don't be a dinosaur, but I mean, it's good to have these traditional marketing principles in place. And ultimately, you know, humans, yes, we change so much, but we're pretty much the same. So traditional marketing still applies, but just try to be flexible as well in your marketing approach.
But now it just feels like this is coming from somewhere. Does it remind you like of some challenge or like some roadblock that really tried to stop you while you were building your own brand, Mangtaz? But at the same time, you were very determined, maybe not at that time, but you still came through it. And now you're standing here proud.
Well, yes, we tried our best. And it's really, you know, resilience and wanting to... Well, we adopted the agile approach, Muskan. Just put our product out there, learn from our customers, and then it's the same thing with marketing. Put your content out there, learn which ones work and which ones don't, and then just try to repurpose it or put something that ultimately helps your target audience, helps your customers, and adds value to them. And that's how you grow, especially grow organically.
Wow, that's actually a nice one. But at the same time, now me also being into marketing for a bit now, I realize when you mentioned content that content is actually like the king. It's not just a saying, but it actually is, because, you know, once we started into podcasting and when we built these shows, we understood that, you know, content is something that is maybe getting very repetitive and exhaustive in these times of social media, and all these platforms are becoming too oversalesy. So I think so. Podcast was like this breath of fresh air to, you know, really churn out some good content and fuel your marketing further. So how do you suggest startups can use content marketing to, you know, really increase their visibility and reach their particular target audience?
Well, apart from understanding who your target audience are, because it could be several, and understanding, I say like who they are, what their age is, where they are, where they hang out, what social media platforms they use, what types of blogs they read or websites they visit, and even down to how are they feeling when they're looking for your service. Are they happy? Are they frustrated? Are they already like angry? Are they maybe lonely for some businesses? So that type of understanding plays a critical role. And when you're creating your content, you try to tailor it to help. That's the best guiding principle in creating your content. You want to try to help somebody, because ultimately you're in business to help somebody and address their pain points. So, and that would easily reflect in the content that you create if you are mindful enough to do that. And I mean, start a blog, it's free to start a blog. You invest a lot in your time. It does help with your SEO. I mean, start a podcast. We also have a podcast. It also helps. And, you know, you have this plethora of information that you can get out of the guests in your podcast, and repurpose your content, as long as if you feel that it adds value to it. And you said so yourself as well earlier, Muskan. There's so much content out there, just churning. Everybody's just churning content, but if, you know, if it adds value to somebody else, so why not? And then measure your results and reiterate.
True. Very important, actually, because no point in, you know, just going about it and just doing it like it's some train run or something without even measuring it or realizing if it's working for you or not. And I think so it's totally fine to change tracks in between because of your right analytics and measurement that, you know, if this isn't working out. For example, if we take podcasting itself, we sometimes come to a dead end and see that, okay, this was not working at all. Now what? We need to change things rapidly. And at the same time, over the night, we would just change our direction, not very drastically, that, you know, the audience that are already listening to us, they be like, okay, that's a whiplash because we don't know what just happened. So I get it. I totally get your point. But now, sadly, we are like coming to close to our end. But at the same time, now, Jackie, this wasn't planned, but I would love to know from you some advice that maybe you would have wanted when you were starting out, because, you know, me being already interviewed D2C brands, B2B brands, I have seen that many new and unique brands are coming out these days. What would be that advice that you would like to give to them?
Well, it's maybe easier said than done. But if you believe in what you're doing, then the rest should fall into place. If you believe that you're going to make a difference with your startup, with your business, if you believe that you're helping somebody else, you're going to make their lives easier, then just focus on that. I mentioned earlier about being clear about your values and your goals. So just don't let that derail you. Like if you see others, like, you know, it's easy to see other startups. Oh, they've raised like so many millions of dollars. And then this startup has done this and they're earning this much. You know, it might make you feel inferior, but be accepting of the space that you're in, where you're at in your startup. Yes, it's nice to study the competition, but you don't have to feel threatened by it or inferior. Yes, if it makes you improve, then go ahead, feel that way. You know, if you feel the competitive spirit and it just gives you more drive to push further in your startup, then go ahead. But the last thing that I would advise you to do is to feel discouraged and find your co-founders that are fantastic, and I wish you luck with that, because it's not easy to find the best co-founders. But if you do, then nurture that relationship and get the most out of it, because it's also in a way a gift that you are able to work, because you can't really build a startup just by yourself. You have to, it's they've done studies about it. You have to have at least somebody who complements you in a way and will help you push your ideas forward.
I mean, it's very difficult to not look at the successful startups and feel like, okay, this is my dream, where to reach. But I totally get your point, because that could actually make you, you know, sort of derail from what you have planned for yourself, what your goals are, or what your priorities might be at this point in time. Maybe you are already successful, or maybe you're on the way of it, but some great advice. And I feel that my audience will already be very happy about it and will listen to it till the end because of it. So thank you so much once again, Jackie, for like joining us all the way from Belgium. And lovely, lovely to have you here. Hopefully we'll have more such conversations ahead, but thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you as well, Ms. Khan. And I had fun.